Welcome to our second day of this Parish Lenten Mission. Let's begin with our short prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Let's ask our Blessed Mother her intercession for the gift of the Holy Spirit, for understanding, for deepening of our faith. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our holy guardian angels, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good. Welcome once more to this Lenten mission, second day. We have some young people with us from the school. So welcome all of you. On the second day, our topic is about the cross in our life, and that it, even when we don't like the cross, the difficulties, the moments where we have experienced some hardships or challenge, when we face them, then we can grow. We can grow to even to a greater love for God and for our neighbor. So yesterday we have meditated on that, how important it is that we don't run away from the cross, that we face it. And as the apostles in their lives, it's wonderful how to see that, how the apostles, they wanted really to follow Jesus in their lives, and they were so excited. But then once the cross came, the passion of Jesus and he suffered, they ran away and they failed to stay with him in this difficult moment. And even when Jesus spoke about it, that he would die for our salvation. Saint Peter, he said, "No, Lord, I don't want it." And Jesus got upset in a certain way and said, "Go away, Satan, because you don't want what God wants, but what man wants." So this struggle to face a cross in our lives is always there. But when we face it and we go hold on to Jesus, when we undergo this struggle, then we will win the victory, and afterwards there's that joy because we have conquered something and there's a greater love in our life. So I would like today continue in this meditation, and let's focus today on Jesus and what he teaches us, and how he continues actually his passion in our time today, and how he is helped by an angel in his passion, and what this angel told him actually, because he was comforted by an angel just at the beginning of his passion, and because of this presence of the angel comfort, he was able to make it until the end. So we get some inspirations for our personal life, because we all want to know how we can handle our different trials and the daily crosses in our lives. For example, this starts already, in our family. There can be some quarrels with our siblings, difficulties, or with parents, or the parents with their children, undergoing some difficulties to understand each other and to come together. Or this can be in school with assignments that I don't understand or have a hard time, I cannot handle these assignments, or have difficulty with a friend, or today we have social medias, and many people have hardships, difficulties in the relationship with these comments and posts that are sometimes hurting, and many misunderstandings can come up, and even greater challenges. So we have really to learn how to handle our daily cross. We call that cross. Now, everything that is kind of a hardship, that is difficult in our relationships, or even in our relationship with God, we call that cross. And so how do I deal with that? Now let's look at Jesus. What did he do when he faced the cross? So first, he did not run away. Yes, so there was the time he knew that he wanted to give his life for us. He knew that, and he knew that he wanted to die on the cross for us, to face this. And in the Gospel of St. Luke, already in the chapter 9, it starts that he said, from now on, he is going up to Jerusalem. And what he was going to do in Jerusalem? He was going to lay down his life for us. So the practically more than half of the Gospel of St. Luke is Jesus going up to Jerusalem. So he didn't run away. Not because the cross is so nice or the cross is easy to handle. He knew that it's very tough. He knew that. And he knew that it will be a battle and a struggle for him. But he went up anyway, and you know, because why did he do it? Because of his love. And so it's not that we love the cross by itself, but it's because through the cross we can prove our love for God and for neighbor. It's through the cross that we show how much we love people. Yes, so that is very much, that is a wisdom that we can learn already from Jesus. Then in the Gospel of St. John, St. John actually says in chapter 13, number 1, he says, Jesus loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. And this word, end, to the end, that is the same word as when Jesus was dying on the cross. You remember what he said? Almost like in the Gospel of St. John, it's his last word. It is consummated. It is finished. It is accomplished. That's the same word as St. John uses here. He loved them to the end. We can also say he loved them to the accomplishment. He loved them to consummation, to the very end. Yes? And so the cross is then this victory of Jesus, the victory of the love that loves to the very end, that holds on, that doesn't give up. And we can see that in different ways as Jesus was going to Calvary. You see the stations of the cross here? There are 14 stations around. Now, in the last two stations, we have them on this side. That's when Jesus had died already, 13 and 14, that's after his death. So the 12th station, that's actually the last, when he gave his life. That was the end, when he had given already his life. What happened 13 and 14? They took him down from the cross and buried him. Now put him in the womb of his mother, Mary, in her arms. So that happened afterwards. So we want to focus on the 12 stations. So you can see in these 12 stations different moments of Jesus' life. And I want to talk about that tomorrow, about the stations of the cross and how we can actually have to go with Jesus through the different stations in our life. But what I want to point out here is that every station had a goal. Three times he fell on the third, the seventh, and the ninth station. Jesus falls three times. And always he was focused on the end. He got up again. He fought it through because he wanted to love us to the end. You remember the word of Jesus on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. So in that moment, he actually overcame for all of us, representative. He overcame this hatred towards the enemy, to the person who hurts me, to the person who gets on my nerves. And he prayed for those who nailed him to the cross. So that's what I mean by the victory of the love to the end. Like in every station, there was a moment where he had to say, I want to love. I want to give my life to the very end. I want to hold on. I get up again because I want to save you. I want to give my life for you. I don't want to give up on the way. So that's this love to the end in which Saint John, the evangelist, speaks about in his gospel. He loved them and he loved them to the very end, to the accomplishment. And then Jesus says, hanging on the cross, now it's accomplished. Now I have given all. Now I have suffered it through and I have given my life. Now, what actually did Jesus fulfill? What he went through? Like, what did he accomplish? It's his mission. Now, it's his mission that he accomplished on the cross. And what was his mission? He wanted to bring love into this world that is full of hatred, forgiveness. He wanted to gain the victory over sin and death. Now, and he wanted to fulfill the will of the Father. The will of the Father. At the beginning of the Gospel of St. John, he says, it's my food to do the will of the Father. That's what I live for. That's what I want to do it. That's what all I'm here for. I want to do the Father's will. And what was the Father's will? The Father's will was not that his son will die. He loved his son so much. God the Father loves his son. And it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Not that we perish, but that we have eternal life. So he gives us the son. God the Father gives his son. He sacrifices him for us so that we can live. So what was the mission of Jesus? It was to fulfill the will of the Father, namely to give his life for our salvation, to show us how much he loves, how much God loves us. That was his desire. And you know, you can see how much a person loves you on how much this person does for you. So the greater the sacrifice you do for another person, the greater is the love you have for this person. Like, for example, a mother who was with child, expecting a child, she was diagnosed with cancer. So she had to undergo some treatments, and the doctor told her that this child will be affected and the child might die or have damage if she does that treatment. So it's better to abort the baby. And what this mother did? No, she said, no, I will not abort my baby. I will postpone this treatment and give first birth to my child. And I will risk that I myself will maybe not survive. So there was this mother who sacrificed her life actually for her child, because she loved that child so much. So you see the sacrifice, how much this woman loved her child. Now you see how great is her love for that child. So Jesus wanted to give his life for our salvation. He wanted to show us that he's even ready to face torture and darkness so that he could save us. So the Lord sacrificed, he said he wants to voluntarily sacrifice his life when he's mentioned. He is the good shepherd who gives his life for his sheep. He lays down his life and takes it again. He speaks of the grain of wheat that has to fall into the ground, has to die in order to produce fruit. So facing a cross, it's a certain way dying, but it's giving life. You give life, because of that love, you give life. It's the greatest love that consists in laying down one's life for one's friends. That's the greatest love. So Jesus fulfilled all of these prophecies that he himself made on the cross when he said, it is consummated. Now the little grain of wheat has died, has fallen to ground, now it can produce fruit. I love you so much, you are my friends. The greatest love is that when someone gives his life for his friends. Now, all of this Jesus fulfilled now in the cross. Now, John Paul II, he wrote a great encyclical on suffering. It's apostolic letter, Salvifici Doloris. What is suffering about? Now, many people are asking, why are there so many children in the world who die of hunger? Why does God permit this? Why there's sickness? Why there's cancer? Why all of this happens in our life? The Pope doesn't give an exact answer to that, but he gives a solution. And he points to Jesus, because he said, human suffering has reached its culmination in the Passion of Christ. So Jesus took all of the suffering of the whole mankind, of all people, of all times, he took it on himself, and especially the consequences of sin, like this, because sin is the worst suffering. Because we separate ourselves from God. That's the worst. Like when I have cancer, it's not so bad as if I would commit a mortal sin. Why? Because cancer maybe takes my life, but it doesn't make my soul go to hell. But when I commit a mortal sin, I separate myself from God. And when I die without repentance, I'll be separated from Him forever. For all eternity. That's the worst. So Jesus takes upon himself all of this suffering and the suffering of the world, and he faces it. And now what does he do with that suffering? Pope John Paul II says, he linked it to love. He linked it to love. That's an interesting point. How can you do that? It's when you face it because of love for God and love for neighbor. And he continues, this suffering has been linked to love, to that love which creates good, drawing it out by means of suffering, just as the supreme good of the redemption of the world was drawn from the cross of Christ, and from that cross constantly takes its beginning. Let me explain this. So it has been linked to love, to that love which creates good, drawing good out by means of suffering. Yes, so by means of suffering, he draws something good out of it because he loves. Because he loves. Yes, and because of that, he transformed suffering and get something good out of it. We can also do that. For example, I mentioned the other day, there was a person, he suffered some kind of abuse in his childhood, in his youth. He was physically beaten by a parent. So that was a big humiliation for him. He suffered so much. And he didn't know, why does my parent do that? Why does this happen? And why did God not protect me? Where was God? Did he just watch from heaven and didn't do anything? So he was distressed and affected his relationship with God. And in that moment, he didn't realize what this was for. But later on, when he was growing up, he realized that God had permitted that. And he did not just watch from afar, but he suffered it in him. Because in his scourging, he was also beaten. Jesus suffered that. God came down from heaven to suffer exactly the same what we suffer. And he did not just suffer it, but he put love into it. He did it for someone, he did it for us, to prove us his love. And so this person understood that once he suffered this kind of physical abuse, Jesus was suffering it with him and he was suffering it with Jesus, and suddenly understood that he feels very close to Jesus. Jesus, I can understand you now, what you suffered through. I can understand what you were undergoing in your passion. So he suddenly grew in his love for Jesus. And then he understood that because of this abuse, this physical abuse, this being beaten, he became very compassionate with other people. He opened himself up and listened to the pain of other people. People like to come to him and share their problems because they felt understood. And why did he understand them? Because he himself had to undergo some problems in his life. And he really loved to help other people. And then he understood that he likes that so much because he himself suffered. And then he said, Lord, thank you that you permitted that. First, I suffered it with you and you suffered it with me. I can understand you better. And I really love to help people. And if it wouldn't have happened, I wouldn't have this kind of compassion with other people. I wouldn't understand them. And they wouldn't love to come to me and share their problems. So suddenly, that became a treasure for him. It became precious. And that is exactly what John Paul II meant here when we link the suffering to love. So we do it out of love for someone. We offer it up for others. And we draw something good out of it, a profit, something positive. Something positive, a treasure for our life. And when you do this with all your sufferings that you experienced in your life, then you will succeed because you will be in peace. You will not be angry anymore, like this person who was able to forgive his parent, they're reconciled. You will not be angry in it anymore. You will be in peace and you will be joyful and grateful to God for the moments he permitted certain things in your life that at the moment were very hard, at the moment were very difficult, but because of the profit, a good you take out of it, you praise him and thank him. Now, we have another insight to that. A theologian, he said, Jesus died with a cry of victory on his lips. This is not the moan of the defeated, nor the sigh of patient resignation. It is the triumphant recognition that he has now fully accomplished the work that he came to do. So when Jesus said, hanging on the cross, it is accomplished, it is consummated, it is fulfilled, I love to the end, then this is a cry of victory. He won. Love is stronger than suffering. Love is stronger than sin. He overcame it. He won the battle. And always when you undergo some difficulty and you make that step to love, then you will also win a battle. And these battles are won in daily life, just every day is a little battle. Like, for example, that your students, some classmate is getting on your nerves but hurt you in some way, but then you reconcile. You say sorry. Or you accept a sorry from someone. Then you won the victory. You can also isolate yourself and be angry forever to that person, but you also can reconcile. When you are always angry, then you don't win the victory. Or that can happen in married life too. When these little battles in everyday life, misunderstanding, reconciliation is, okay, I want to love anyway. I don't want to give in to that temptation that when this person hurt me, then I will not anymore talk to that person, I will isolate myself, I go away, I will give it back. Next time, I give it back. When I'm in a similar situation, I get a chance, I give it back. Then you're not winning the victory. The victory is won when you say, I want to forgive. I just love this person anyway, and I'm still kind to that person. Then you won the victory. Then you draw something good out of suffering by love. So this is a beautiful path that the Lord shows us, that the Lord shows us in his passion. Now, I would like to give you another insight that I pointed out already in the story that I told before about this person who has experienced physical abuse and was able to forgive, because the church teaches us that the mysteries of Jesus, all of his mysteries of his life, they somehow transcend time. So when I live in this world, my life starts at this time and ends at this time, and all of this happens, but it's not in eternity, doesn't have any effect anymore. But when Jesus lived, when he was conceived until he ascended to heaven, all of this time, his mysteries, he lived on earth. That was how many years ago? 2,000 years ago. Is it finished? It's not finished. Why? Because he is God. He lived there as God and man. So it entered eternity. In our language, technological language today, we can say it was uploaded. It was uploaded. And now every time when we celebrate the mysteries of Christ in the Eucharist, for example, when the priest absolves me from my sins, then this, what is uploaded there, the mysteries of Christ with all the merits that he gained for us, is now downloaded to me. I'm saved now. Yes? So when we compare that in this way, the church says whenever we celebrate Holy Mass, the mystery of Christ happens here and now in this church. It's happening here and now. Hic and nunc. So that's a beautiful way how we can, through the sacraments, actually we connect to these mysteries and celebrate them now. When we celebrate Christmas, the church says, today the Savior was born. Why today? No, it was 2,000 years ago. Yes, today. Because it's a mystery of Christ that is all the time is present. Whenever we celebrate it, becomes present here and now. Isn't that beautiful in our faith? When we celebrate Mass, we are kneeling right at Calvary. Jesus is dying in that moment for us. We connect to that time 2,000 years ago. And there's another way how the mysteries of Christ are present today. Saint John Hughes, a great saint from France, he said that Jesus, he's the head of the body. We are the members of the body. He's the head, the big church, one Christ. He's the head, we are the members. So the head, Jesus, suffered already all the mysteries through. He showed us the path. He's resurrected. But now all his mysteries are still to be accomplished until the end of time in each of his member. In each of his member. That's in the catechism, quoted in the catechism. Isn't that a beautiful thought? That Jesus is living his life now in your life. He's living his life in your life. He's born in you, he's growing up in you, and he also suffers in you, and he overcomes suffering in you. And you can give him the chance to participate in your life and to suffer different moments with him, that he can suffer that in you and bring it to that victory of love. Now, that's a wonderful way. Jesus suffers and goes with you through his passion in you. And that's a wonderful, wonderful insight when you think about it. That's exactly what this person I told before what happened, that he realized that Jesus was scourged in him, and that he was scourged with Jesus, beaten with Jesus. And that's not something that you make up in your mind, but Jesus really participates in you. When you are humiliated, when you are made fun of, when someone hurts you in some way, or when you have some sickness or some headache, or something that is not normal, that is not some kind of suffering, Jesus suffers that in you. And he wants to bring that to the victory of love in you. Yes? And so when you unite this with him, when you join that with him, then it becomes redemptive. That's what St. Paul says when he mentions in his letter to the Colossians, when he says, I still suffer, but I do that for the sake of the church to complete what is still lacking in the sufferings of Christ. To complete. What is still lacking in the sufferings of Christ? Actually, nothing anymore. He redeemed us completely. He gave everything. But he wants to bring his redemption, his suffering to completion in every one of us, in every one of his members. So Jesus, when you are undergoing some difficulty, Jesus is not far away from you. You don't have to say, Lord, why you are not around? Why you permit this to me? No, it's Jesus going with you through that, and he wants to bring that to the victory of love, so that something good can grow out of this. So Jesus participates in our life, and we fill up now what is still lacking in the sufferings of Christ in our own bodies, in our own life, for the body of Christ, which is the church. Now, Jesus suffers in our time in another way. How does Jesus suffer still today? Actually, it's because of our sins. The letter to the Hebrews says, we Christians are crucifying the Son of God again, holding him up to contempt, always when you commit sin. When you commit a mortal sin, we are crucifying Jesus again. So always when someone commits a sin in this world, it's like hammering Jesus again to the, nailing him again to the cross. Because it was our sins who brought him to suffer. So we have responsibility, actually, we have responsibility in the death of Jesus, every one of us, because of our sins. So we can today alleviate also the pain of Jesus that he suffers by so many people, and we can make up for that. Our Lady in Fatima said, so many souls go to hell because no one sacrifices and prays for them. So in other words, when we pray and suffer, sacrifice for people, then they can be saved. They will not lose their eternal life because of my sacrifice. So I can contribute with my suffering to the salvation of others. So when you have a headache, you can say, Lord, I give this headache to you. I don't want to complain, I just want to give it to you for my aunt who is fell away from the church, or for my cousin who is not going to Mass, or for those who are not Catholics, or for someone dying in this moment. I want to give it to you. And then your suffering becomes redemptive. You give meaning to your suffering, you get something good out of your suffering, out of your headache. Your headache can save souls. Isn't that something? Isn't that beautiful how we can contribute to help others' salvation? And in this way, we can make up what other people failed in their relationship with Jesus. This reality is expressed that we all have responsibility for the Passion of Christ by Cardinal Ratzinger. He wrote in a prayer to Jesus, "Lord, when we fall, we drag you down to earth. So I drag, when I fall into sin, I drag Jesus down to fall." And Satan laughs, for he hopes that you will not be able to rise from that fall. He hopes that being dragged down in the fall of your church, you'll remain prostrate and overpowered, but you will rise again. So Jesus is stronger than sin. Jesus overcomes that by his love. He saves us from our sin, and we can also contribute by our little crosses to the salvation of others. Now, let me explain to you now what actually Jesus experienced in his passion when he was, after the Last Supper, he went out in the garden, and his soul was so distressed. It was all dark. He was kneeling in this garden and praying. And he prayed, "Father, take this cup away from me. Let this cup pass by from me." So he actually experienced this anguish, that this cup that was a symbol for the suffering, that this cup was too big for him to carry all the sins of this big load of the sins of the whole world, that crushed him. To have to face this, to have to face death, torture, but even worse was this big burden of our sins, my sin, your sin, he carried it all. And this caused him a struggle. "Lord, let this chalice pass from me. Please take it away from me. It's hard, it's difficult." So he cried out to God, the Father, to relieve him from this burden. And so what was the response? How did God the Father answer to his son? Was he just silent? Like, he did not answer like in baptism, where a voice came down from heaven and said, "You are my beloved son." Or in another moment, Jesus cried out to the Father, "Please, I pray for my friend Lazarus who died." And the Father heard him and resurrected Lazarus. In another moment, Jesus said, "Father, glorify your son." And there was a voice coming down from heaven and said, I glorified him already, I will still glorify him." There was no voice coming down from heaven. God did also remove the cup of suffering from him. So what was the response? In that moment, when Jesus was alone with three of his apostles who failed him, he asked them to pray with him, but they slept. In that moment, when he was left alone by so many people, he was abandoned. In that moment, God the Father heard his prayer, and he sent an angel. He sent an angel. That was the response. And what did this angel do to Jesus? He strengthened him. And at this moment of immense struggle and darkness and abandonment, Jesus had already a hard time to accept this will of the Father in our place, because we always reject, you know, what God wants. So he faced in this moment this angel, and he strengthened him. And now what did this angel do? Because after the angel had strengthened him, his Holy Scripture says his prayer became more intense, and he even sweat blood. And science tells us that's really possible, that a person is so much in tension, that sweating in anguish, that you sweat blood. So he sweat blood afterwards. So we ask, so what's the point? Jesus prays to get free from this chalice of suffering. An angel comes, comforts and strengthens him, and then afterwards he suffers even more. So the point here is that Cardinal Ratzinger explains that to us. What the angel did in that moment was not giving an anesthetic or painkiller to Jesus so that he wouldn't suffer so much. He did not remove the chalice, but Jesus encountered in the angel the love that was in need of his suffering and thus gave him the courage to enter into it. Now that's a very deep phrase. I explained it. Jesus encountered in the angel the love that was in need of his suffering and thus gave him the courage to enter into it. I think only Pope Benedict can explain, can put this in so beautiful words. What does that mean? Isn't it that when people suffer in a certain moment, experience some difficulty in their lives, that they ask first, where is God? Does he not love me? Why lets me experience this? I always go to Mass, I always pray. Why this happens to me? Other people who don't go to Mass, they seem to be better than me. So this is a basic question that comes up immediately when some difficulty comes up in our life. And the second difficulty is, when we are undergoing some hardships, for what is that? Isn't it many times that old people, when they experience the limitations of their lives, that they cannot do anymore the same things that they did before, that they are limited, they cannot work anymore, that they feel somehow useless? Because our society tells us, the more you produce, the more you do, the more value you have. But that's not true. The value of a person is not in what you do, what you produce, what you accomplish, but the value of the person is in the being. And here is exactly what this angel tells now Jesus. He first communicates him. God the Father responded. He sent an angel. He loves you. This what you're undergoing here has a purpose. God permits that for a purpose. And so one of the popes, Pius XI, he said that Jesus was shown in that moment all the people who are going to be saved. We hopefully too. He showed to us all people who are going to be saved because of his suffering, we will be saved, there will be an effect. He showed them also how much we contribute by our prayers, by our holy hours, by our communion of reparation, by the masses we attend, by the prayers we offer, how much we contribute and show him his love to console him. So that consoled Jesus, that he experienced that he was going to undergo was not useless, it was for our salvation. It was for great purpose. And the second, he is loved. And this is so important for us too, that in difficult moments, we understand that we are loved by God. Also, in moments where we don't feel his presence, where he seemed to be far away and where we feel like he has forgotten us. But he is still there. He loves us. And he's with us in a hidden way, undergoing with us this moment. He suffered already before. And the second is that hardship that I must be undergoing is for purpose. It will bring me to a greater maturity, it will bring to a greater love. It will bring more love into my family. It will bring more love into my school, into my classmates. And it will bring salvation to maybe people who are losing their soul so that they can convert and come back to God. There's a purpose. There will be a purpose. Right now you don't understand it, But later on, you will say, yeah, it makes sense. So that is what the Lord wants to point out through this angel. And this, what this angel did to these people, that to Jesus, he does it now to us, our guardian angel. He brings consolation in moments of trial. He tells us, Jesus loves you, Jesus is with you, and what you are undergoing right now has a purpose. So don't give up, hold on, receive the Eucharist, be strengthened by the Lord. This has a purpose. And after you pass through this, there will be a great grace and joy and peace in your life. So hold on to the Lord. And that, I hope that you understand this message from your guardian angel, and this guardian, your guardian angel will bring that to you in difficult moments. Let us therefore, go with Jesus together to this victory of love in our lives, helped by the guardian angel. Let us conclude with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice of love for our salvation. You loved to the end and showed us on the cross how much you love us. We ask you that carry also our daily crosses with us, help us to overcome them through love, help us to get something good out of them, help us to face them, the challenge that you place into our lives, so that we can grow, that we can love more, and that we can come to a joyful life that is ready to face the trials out of love for you and for salvation of souls. Glory to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit.